It was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever taken laxatives instead of getting a flu shot. Today's title is Getting a Grip on La Grip, Kentucky's Spanish Flu Pandemic. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the man who suffers from the ravaging effects of entendrophobia, which is an acute fear of double entendres. He is an associate professor of communication at WKCTC, Jason Donner.
Is that a real thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
I totally made it up.
It was a little too perfect.
Yeah, I think so.
What did you mean by that anyway, Brent?
Well, you have been mentioning certain things about double entendres lately.
I have?
In certain past episodes.
Okay.
And I thought maybe that had triggered an episode or something.
Was I there when you heard me say it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, the main event will investigate a pandemic that killed more people than World War I. We will also hear reactions to the show from the Old Kentucky voicemails. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real, only the sponsorship is fake.
A free air conditioner when you buy a 1983 Honda Accord two-door only at Force Wallace Honda. Or if you don't want to breathe comfortably, take the $500 cash rebate. That's a free air conditioner on the 83 Honda Accord. Take 500 cash now or drive in conditioned air later.
That was a big deal, I guess, back then.
Yeah, well,
even
it's kind
then,
of a
though?
Small deal because
right.
People didn't really care if they had an air conditioner sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, before you knew what it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, they knew what it was.
Didn't expect to have it.
But in cars, people just
in cars, they
didn't
just dealt
always
with it.
Have it.
Well, yeah. They put the window down. But that's not really good enough.
No, not for me. I've got to have it frigid in there.
Right.
If it's summertime, I want it 60 degrees.
Yeah,
but well, yeah, that's just crazy. Have you ever driven a car without an air conditioner?
I think I've been in like a truck. I think my dad had a truck like that or something.
Yeah, I drove a truck and it did not have it. And it was just insane because you get where you were going
right.
And you'd be drenched in sweat. It looked like you just got out of the shower.
Yeah. It's really bad in the summertime.
It is amazing. And it's just amazing that you might not pick air conditioner.
Right.
You might think, I think I'll take this $500 rebate instead of the air conditioner.
That's
an amazing thing to me, too.
1980, too.
1983 was the year of this. And you would think that you're sort of past that. That maybe that was a thing of the 60s or the 70s, but still persisting into the 80s, you might not have a standard air conditioner.
Right.
Might be just
an
optional.
And it's a little cheap car,
add-on.
Too.
Well,
yeah,
it
it's
is.
A smaller one.
It's a compact car. It's an economy car. You're saving money, and I just don't know that that's the place to save the money.
Now, did I say any double entendres during that?
Nope. So far, so good.
You
managed to stay clear in that particular segment. And for the next segment, of course, we have got a little feedback from the show, which is always nice because we never know how we're doing until we get some feedback.
Oh, right. Okay.
And let's go to the phones.
Thanks for calling Old Kentucky Tales. For English, press 1.
Para español, marque 2 ahora.
For old-timely Kentucky talk, dial 3 on your rotary phone right now, y'all.
Your call is important to us. All of our historians, speech critiquers, and producers are currently unavailable. If you know your party's 4-digit extension number, you may dial now. For all other inquiries and comments, stay on the line and leave a message after the tone.
Greetings, I am Beep Bop from the planet Crouton. We have received your transmission of the Old Kentucky Tales podcast. It is very popular on our planet and has gained a cult following. No, seriously, there is now a cult on our planet thanks to your podcast. You may have noticed that while I speak with perfect English for some reason, our Croutonian voices sound a lot like a child speaking into a fan. Have you ever heard a child speak into a fan? It can be very annoying after a while. Well, that's how it is every damn day on this planet. Anyway, your podcast. I will be calling back to complain if your cult gains any more ground in our political system. Best wishes, Beep Bop.
That's it. We've now got clinically insane people calling the phones
right
now. What have we done to deserve this?
Yes. I know. That alien actually believes in cults. Can you believe that?
No, the guy actually believes he's an alien. That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem around here.
Sounds very ill.
Yeah. Mentally ill. Uh-huh. Correct. I think I'm just going to delete that one.
You got some
hope that it doesn't turn violent at some point.
Okay.
And I think we're going to be moving on to the moment that we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one. So, Jason, here we are.
Yes.
We are ready, and our topic today is the Spanish flu and how it impacted Kentucky. So this is the 19-teens, 1918, and I believe really part of this is World War I. There's so many millions of people who are going back and forth across the oceans, and they're fighting, they're in close proximity with each other. And once this thing got going.
What do you mean? They're giving each other the flu? Right.
Oh, yeah.
The grip.
I mean, we had 3 million people who were conscripted to go into World War I.
And they're in the trenches there.
They're in the trenches. And that's a whole lot of contact with civilians and other soldiers who are allied. And then, yeah, there's the battlefield. So
what is the Spanish flu anyway? What does that mean?
It's a version of the flu. But it's just a really nasty version of the flu. You know, kind of like how they tell you if you get the flu shot, it's okay for like this strain, but maybe not that. This
is the bad one.
Really nasty strain of the flu, apparently.
Okay.
And it went by several names. The full name is the Spanish influenza, but of course, nobody says influenza, they say flu.
So is it from Spain?
The Spanish part, I don't know.
Why is Spain getting blamed for it?
That's a good question. I don't know if
there's something there. I mean, you know, it's connected.
Well,
somewhere.
It is, but sometimes it's not always accurate because you've seen where like the bird flu wasn't necessarily birds, or the pig flu wasn't necessarily pigs.
It kind of catches on.
Yeah, once
the
name's
title.
Out there, it does. And there's also some European names that we will see in this time period too, like the grip or la grip. And that's what they were calling it over in Europe.
And then we
adopted the name. Yeah.
La Grip.
La Grip. Yeah, oui, La Grip. And it was really devastating.
Sounds like Pepe Le Pew.
That's it. It was, it's French. That's the standard French accent,
yeah.
Right? But for sure, this was a really nasty thing. World War I killed 15 million people. And there are estimates that the Spanish flu killed 25 million people.
Ah.
So more than the most devastating war to that point in history.
So you would die. You would get it, and you would just
deteriorate
and die.
I've seen some accounts from Kentucky where they said it was shutting down the coal industry.
Right.
Because there just simply weren't enough people to go to work.
Right.
It was that kind of a thing. I mean, you know, today we take precautions. We shut the school down, all that. But they seriously didn't have enough people.
Right. Well, that's been going on now lately. I mean, we've had a pretty bad flu season here.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people have died, but
not 25 million.
We're talking about this. Yeah. In terms of like just those days were just so, just more dangerous times, I guess. Right.
They were dangerous. And they did try to account for it with things like quarantines and they banning public events and things like that. It was illegal to have church there for a little while.
Okay.
In a place like Murray, Kentucky, they actually arrested a pastor for attempting to have church.
Don't need to get people together though, because that's going to lead to
that was the
spread.
Thing. They knew that, and it's really funny about medicine at the turn of the 20th century. They are in kind of a weird zone where they can do a lot of things medically. They can do some pretty complex surgeries and things like that. But we see this medical advice that they're giving people, and it's just not quite 100% what's going to keep you safe in all these cases.
But it's the best they got, I guess, at the time.
Yeah, so some of this is good advice. Some of it's a little wacky.
Wacky.
Let's see here. We have got an article that tells us how to avoid influenza and other sickness, rules for those at work, walk to work if possible. So this is the standard thing. Get plenty of exercise. Avoid the person who coughs or sneezes. And I would say that's probably pretty good. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right, but that makes
sounds
a lot of
normal.
Sense. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands before eating. We hear that all the time. That's still pretty standard issue stuff. Make full use of available sunshine.
Aha.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. What's that going to do?
I guess it's this thing about getting outside and
those life-giving rays.
It does have,
soak in some rays.
It has vitamin D.
It does have some, right.
I mean, I don't know if vitamin D is going to ward this stuff off.
Right. Maybe they're trying to just get people outside.
Yeah.
So they're not inside spreading their germs.
Maybe. Don't use a common towel.
A common towel. So I guess people do have those, though. They have that towel hanging in the bathroom.
Sure. Yeah. Or the one in the kitchen next to the...
Yeah, right.
Of course. And if somebody's sick, of course, those germs might wind up there. Should you cough or sneeze, cover nose and mouth with a handkerchief.
That's only polite.
I would say that's... But handkerchief, though.
Yeah.
People don't use those anymore,
no.
Right?
Right. That was a thing.
Aren't they gross, though?
Shove it right back into your pocket?
Yeah. That's
of course they're gross.
You slurp all the snot on there, and then you wad it back up.
Oh, yeah.
You put it in the pocket, then you reach back for it the next time.
I can clearly remember older men doing that in my childhood.
Of course.
Uncle, grandpa, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that many times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was normal for them to do.
He kept one with him constantly.
Disgusting to think about. We knew that, but yeah, still it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Handkerchief.
Yeah. That's one of those bygone things. I haven't seen anybody use that in 30 years.
Right. That's true.
Keep out of crowded places, walk in the open air rather than go to crowded places of amusement. And we talked about the quarantines, and so they're living up to that here. Sleep is necessary for well-being. Avoid overexertion. Eat good, clean food. Keep away from houses where there are cases of influenza.
These aren't that wacky, I gotta tell you. When are they gonna get wacky?
We'll see some wacky stuff.
Okay.
I mean, so far they're common.
Yeah.
I think common sense sort of things almost. If sick, no matter how slight, see a physician.
Oh, okay.
Now, seriously, do you ever follow that advice?
Maybe things were different in those days, but can't do that now. It's too crowded. It's too hard to get in, you know, to see. I mean, we just kind of, I'll wait till I'm right. Yeah. Right at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Before I'm going to go see a doctor.
Oh yeah. 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 For sure. If you have had influenza, stay in bed until your doctor says you can safely get up. That's again, pretty standard, I'd say. Right. Okay, so at the workplace, I guess those things are going to help you at work, maybe.
Oh, those were all at work, okay.
Yeah, those are for the workplace. Now we've got
a common towel at work.
That's a little gross, right?
I thought we were talking about at home.
Well, that's the first thing you think about because you do that at home pretty commonly. At work, though, it's usually a different situation there. Rules for those at home. Keep out of the sick room unless attendance is necessary.
Right, unless they require attendance.
And I guess that makes sense. You're going to limit your exposure potentially to...
the mom gets stuck doing that, right?
Oh,
frequently,
for sure.
Mom is the...
It's not dad.
Taking care of person.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. Do not handle articles coming from the sick room until they are boiled.
Ah.
So there's a boil shirt order.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's boilable, I guess.
Yeah,
that's how they killed it.
Boil the underwear, right?
I think they did boil things.
Plop it in there. then make yourself some vegetable soup later.
Allow no visitors.
Allow no visitors and do not go visiting.
Yes.
Again, that's this quarantine sort of thing that they've got going, and some of it's by law. Call a doctor for all inmates who show signs of beginning sickness.
Uh-huh. And the doctor might come around to your house in these days.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
The usual symptoms are inflamed and watery eyes, discharging nose, headache, muscular pain, and fever.
Uh-huh.
And those are standard flu symptoms. Flu-like symptoms is what they always call it.
Now, let's not ignore this inmate word, which I guess maybe was used in that time to describe people who are all in a place together.
It's super funny that you ask that, because I have seen that word used for many, many purposes in that time frame.
Right.
Today, we think of it as exclusively prison.
Sure.
And prisoners.
But we're, like right now, we're inmates of this recording studio, really.
We are certainly inmates.
Right.
Either that or the audience. The audience is the real inmates here.
Yeah, we're inmates. I get it now. I've never thought about that with prisoners either. They're mates.
Like in the British friend sense of
things. Okay, there's your double entendre.
Yeah, they're...
yeah.
Maybe
the way
maybe
I make it sound, it sounds really happy.
All right, then. But what I was going to tell you was, I have seen this mean prostitutes also.
You've seen mean prostitutes? Where were you at the time?
Inmates. Meaning
double, again. See, double.
You got the entendres
going. You planted
that.
All right, yeah. So, this refers to... prostitutes in the prostitute type house.
Yes.
Okay.
The prostitute type house, exactly right. They refer to them as inmates in that particular time. So they've used it for several things. Patience is what it means here. Keep away from crowded places such as quote unquote movies, theaters, and streetcars. So movies are so new that we're putting it in quotes.
Yeah. It's not exactly proper word.
If you see one of these so-called movies,
right,
be careful because the flu might be there.
These magical pictures that are somehow moving.
That's true.
I've never thought, this is a little bit of like language here that you're bringing up for me, which I enjoy. But movies,
became a slang. It's like TV for television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never thought about that before.
Sure enough.
Because it's really film. It's on film.
Right.
Cool.
Right. Yippee. See to it that your children are kept warm and dry both night and day. We've talked about this before. I don't think on air, but I think we talked about this in just inner conversations about how people a long time ago were obsessed with the idea that if you get cold, you will become sick.
Right. They believe if you go outside with your hair a little wet,
you're
dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, you will never make it. You will not make it from here to the mailbox if you're wet from the shower and you head out there.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Don't have a coat on.
Oh, that's another death sentence if you don't have the coat on. Have sufficient fire in your home to disperse the dampness. Open your windows at night. If cool weather prevails, add extra bed clothing. So they're trying to air out the house.
All right.
On this one. So keep the windows open at night. That goes a little against this previous advice about keeping everybody warm.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're trying to lower the humidity, just the kind of the dampness in the room.
Yeah, they're doing that and then also, airing it. Add extra bed clothing. So you're going to really pile on and be warm in the bed, but the room might be cold, it says. Then we've got some special suggestions for those who are nursing the sick. Keep clean. Isolate your patients. That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
You know, it is hit or miss in this era. So many things, as you pointed out, that sounds reasonable. When in attendance upon patients, wear a mask which will cover both the nose and the mouth. When the mask is in place, do not handle it.
Okay.
I've seen that. Definitely as a rule to follow. I remember when they were going to have the Ebola outbreak.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
And sure.
It was a big thing.
Right.
Trying to attend to the people who had the Ebola. Change the mask every 2 hours. Owing to the serenity of gauze, boil for 1/2 hour and rinse. Then use the gauze again. So you can reuse the mask as long as you boil it, it says. Now, this one, I think, might be where we start going off the rails. So far, we've had a lot of common sense things. This one, I'm not so sure makes sense. Wash your hands each time you come into contact with a patient. Use bichloride of mercury for hand disinfection.
Yeah, that sounds pretty toxic.
Yeah, I don't think I want to be washing my hands in mercury.
Right.
Or any such thing.
Well, your hands are going to get really clean.
Will they?
Whatever is on there is going to be dead, right?
Does mercury kill stuff?
I don't
besides,
know. It just like, sounds toxic. People? Yeah.
It does sound toxic.
What's this other thing? Liquor, cresol compounds?
Yeah, that's another sort of chemical of some sort. Obtain at least 7 hours sleep in each 24 hours. Eat plenty of good, clean food. So we're right back to eat right and exercise and get plenty of rest as the standard things. Walk in the fresh air daily. Sleep with your windows open. Insist that the patient cough, sneeze, or expectorate into cloths that may be disinfected or burned.
Or burned.
I think I'm going to go with burned on that one, if possible. Now, it might not be possible, depending on how long they are sick.
Right.
But I sort of like the burning part of it. Let's just totally get rid of this thing.
So they got it, though, of course. Get the germs. Stay away from germs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get
that's
the germs
true.
Out of the house.
Germs out of the house. If that's possible. I don't. Would the germs really go anywhere? Because you
had
the window
open? Do they just float out?
I don't think so. I don't.
I mean, they would have to. Right.
I'm not sure that
a little
helps
bit.
Anything. I think that's another one of these deals where...
Or do
where
they just settle like dust on everything?
I think they stick to things. I don't know. This is not a science show out there.
What if you opened the window
listening?
And a blast of air just blew the germs that were all sitting on your desk all into your face?
That should be possible, theoretically,
or the
right?
Or germs that crawl into your mouth when you're asleep.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay.
Well, there's Todd with her urination.
Yes, Todd was talking something about urinating mercury. Yes.
That doesn't sound very pleasant either now that I think about it.
I got caught up in that.
Yeah. Here are some just general rules that everyone can follow. If you feel a sudden chill followed by muscular pain, headache, backache, unusual tiredness, and fever, go to bed at once and send for a doctor. All right. Fair enough. See that there is enough bed clothing to keep you warm. Got to stay warm. If you get cold, it's over. Open all windows in your bedroom and keep them open at all times except in rainy weather. Then we are to classic 19th and early 20th century stuff. Take medicine to open the bowels freely.
Right.
Because you've got to flush out the system.
This is what you were getting at. You're always getting at that first sentence, aren't you?
The
main event.
Formulaic is the adjective for that.
I never pick up on that. But yeah, you mentioned the bowel considerations at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. And there's all kinds of laxative ads from back then, too, that where they tell you, hey, this is going to help you with the flu.
Yeah.
So get cracking.
Well, get cracking. Yes.
Take some nourishing foods such as milk. Egg and milk broth every 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
So there's standard eat the soup.
When you are sick, I don't think you want milk, eggs.
Eggs and sickness,
you know, it's not real appetizing.
I guess just the broth.
Yeah, the broth.
Stay in bed till a physician tells you it is safe. Allow no one else to sleep in the same room. Protect others by coughing into the handkerchiefs. Insist that whoever gives you water or food enters the sick room for any other purpose shall wear a gauze mask, which may be obtained from the Red Cross, or which may be made at home of 4 to 6 folds of gauze, and which should cover the nose and mouth and be tied behind the head. Remember that these masks must be kept clean and must be put outside the sick room, must not be handled after they are tied, and must be boiled 30 minutes and thoroughly dried every time they are taken off. So 4 hours from now, you'll be ready to wear that mask
again.
Just
hang your mask out on your gauze out on the clothesline.
Yep.
Get them thoroughly dry.
Yep.
You know, this is something that keeps coming up in this that I don't know. People that we don't do that now. We don't think about putting a mask on somebody. I don't know. I don't anyway. When you're laying there sick, just sick in the bed, or you're taking care of somebody.
Oh yeah, it would have to be a really serious
illness. We don't really do that.
Illness,
right?
No. No,
just
the only time I've seen that is maybe with heart patients.
Yeah, somebody really sick who really doesn't need to get a germ.
That's it.
But not around the house.
True. We need to get paid, so we have got our sponsor for this half of the program. It's here, fresh and clean, too good to last long. Coal, it burns. Our coal is more perfect than any similar mineral body offered, composed of the greatest percentage of carbon. The combustion is free, but not fast. And the quantity of waste matter is very small. William Davis, half block above Limestone Bridge. Downtown office. Phone 69.
69.
So just dial 69,
yep.
And you can get yourself some good, fresh, clean burning coal that has more carbon than any other coal
sure.
on the market.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yes, that is from 1903, and it's just an amazing thing to think about 2018 if you were advertising coal as having more carbon than any other.
Right, yeah, it burns.
Yeah.
Little advertising.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And now, the moment you've been dreading, which is the takeaway. So out of all these sicknesses and preventions, what is your right. biggest takeaway?
Oh, about the illnesses. Well, let me see. I'm gonna answer that at the end of this sentence, and during it, I'll try to decide on something. Okay?
Just stalling a little.
Yeah, when I reach the end of the sentence, I'll have an answer. But I think probably, obviously, like this, people understood germs in those days. They did. The things that they had access to or their way that they lived their lives, you know, was different. But pretty much they just knew to keep people who were sick away from other people. And just try to, like, minimize the germs, keep okay. clean.
And that is...
Right.
That's something for sure.
But
they were on the right track.
So many people, like you were talking about with the Spanish flu, so many people together in close quarters, this is just what happens to animals. This happens to, you know, people that live in close quarters together, and things spread in a way that they didn't before we all kind of worked and lived together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear, Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return. You can download even more episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or rate us. We would like to have that information. And if you did not like what you heard, there is no way you're at minute 25. Special thanks to our producer Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS, and the rest is history.